an off season, the offer sheets are part of the deal. I find that fans don't like it when it happens to their team. But when their team makes one, fans like it. And Carolina, here's an offer sheet, though, that really has to make Montreal think because of the long-term ramifications. If they match it and then they don't want to qualify him at $6.1 million, then he becomes a free agent. They ultimately lose him for nothing and just paid him $6.1 million. So first of all, I guess, give me your sense on how is the relationship between Kotkaniemi and the Canadiens? Is it good enough that he would sign a multi-year extension lower than $6.1 million next year?
Well, I think it really depends on whether the Canadiens match first and foremost,
yeah.
because that'll be the real tell as to how they feel about Kotkaniemi, because Marc Bergevin at the end of the regular season, his press conference, when asked about Kotkaniemi, didn't exactly give a glowing endorsement for where he finished the year in terms of where Bergevin as a GM and Dominique Ducharme as a head coach. How they felt about Kotkaniemi's development to that point. And it showed. I mean, he started and finished the playoffs as a healthy scratch. And how much of that might have a long-term effect on Kotkaniemi's relationship with the team if the Canadiens do match? That'll be the real question mark, because if he does come back, if he does play this season, there's going to be immense pressure on him to really show that he's worth anything close to $6.1 million. But if the Canadiens decide to let him walk and take the draft picks, well, then, yeah, they've given up a lot in terms of the investment, the time, the sweat equity that they put in trying to develop a third overall pick who only just turned 21 last month. So that would be a bitter pill to swallow for the organization, because they recognize that Kotkaniemi is still young, but having said that, the way that things ended this year, I think that strained relationships between both sides of the divide, and so it's going to be fascinating to see what happens, what unfolds in the next 5 days, to see if Bergevin decides to match or not.
Does the fact that Deneau left leave them maybe in a position where they have to sign him? Because other than Suzuki, do they have another top three forward or, top three line forward out there?
No, well, that's the problem, Jason. Losing Philip Deneau already weakened them at the center position. But, if Marc Bergevin wasn't willing to go up to about $6 million per on Philip Deneau, who's a proven commodity, even though his defensive contributions far outweigh his offense. I mean, he is a very valuable centerman. To pay Jesperi Kotkaniemi $6.1 million this year and then possibly next season, or in a bridge deal, at the very least, they're going to have to qualify him at $6.1 million, unless they want to go the arbitration route and try to knock him down to 85% of that, which would be in about the 5.8 range, I believe. But, I mean, then that would get very contentious and strain relationships even further. So they really are stuck between a rock and a hard place. And so, I mean, both sides of the equation, both sides, if Kotkaniemi comes or stays with the Canadiens, it's going to be difficult for him. And for the Canadiens, they're going to be constantly under the microscope about how they handle this next season, this stage in Kotkaniemi's development. But as far as trying to replace him, if they decide not to match the offer sheet, well, yeah, you got Nick Suzuki, Jake Evans, Ryan Poehling will get a good long look at a training camp. Cedric Paquette signed as a free agent, but the one player that nobody's been talking about that might be able to fill in, although given the situation that he's coming out of, I'm not sure if it would be ideal, is Jonathan Drouin. Because when he came to the Canadiens, they had him playing at center, but they had him in the number one spot and not with the ideal wingers to help him succeed. Nick Suzuki will be the Canadiens' number one center. But say, for instance, Jonathan Drouin need to slide over to center, at least temporarily, if they could give him wingers that can really help him, like the right type of mix, even though he's coming off a leave of absence, the circumstances under which were personal, very personal, very private, would that be a possible scenario that could unfold, and would that be the right move for Jonathan Drouin, who's coming from you know, out of a very difficult personal situation as well. So, of course, Mark Bergevin could try to make a move. He'll have more draft capital with the picks that he would get from Carolina if he didn't match the offer. And so the remaining 3 weeks until training camp are going to be, I think, busier off the ice than Bergevin would have liked or anticipated. But you know what? That's, to me personally, this was not a surprise. After Bergevin tried to scoop Sebastian Aho, I thought, oh, it's only a matter of time. I'll bet you Carolina is going to do the same thing once Kotkaniemi comes up in his entry level deal is up. And now we've seen that that come home to roost.
John Liu joins us from TSN. Now, John, you mentioned the situation with Jonathan Drouin. Are you expecting him back at camp? Is he going to play for sure?
Well, we believe that he's been skating at the Canadiens practice facility in Brossard, just casual skates. And all through the playoffs, when he was at, when Dominic Ducharme was asked about him, and I believe Mark Bergevin was as well, they said that, you know, Jonathan Drouin was doing better, that he was expected to come to training camp. And so, all things being equal at this point, based on what we were told just over a month ago, we should see Drouin at training camp. And ideally, whatever the reasons were that kept him away from the team for the better part of this calendar year, hopefully he's managed to get things all straightened out and he'll be able to return to the fold and play up to the level that he's capable of. Because we saw that when Jonathan Drouin is on his game, there's nobody on the team that is as talented as he is, like in terms of pure skill. So he could be a very valuable and important player for the Canadiens, especially in light of what's happened in the offseason in terms of who they've lost. So that will be an interesting storyline when training camp starts.
And Shea Weber, we know he's out long-term. Carey Price, is he expected to be ready for the start of the regular season?
Yeah, the surgery that he underwent on his knee, the club didn't come right out and say it, but based on the timeline, which I believe they said was like 8 weeks at that point, it sounds like it was an arthroscopic surgical procedure, just clean things up in his knee. So the expectation is that he should be ready for the start of the season. But if not, well, you know what? Hey, look at what Jake Allen did in his first year with the Canadiens last year. He was largely responsible for the Canadiens being able to hold on to a playoff spot the whole time and make it in. So, yeah, I mean, even if Carey Price can't start the season on time, the Canadiens are pretty sound in net with Jake Allen as the 1B. And the fact that Price should be able to start the regular season cleaned up, healthy, and good to go, that will be very important for the Canadiens in light of the fact that they'll be missing their captain for quite likely the entire regular season.
You know, on the back end, obviously losing Shea Weber, he's a difficult guy to change, and quite frankly, he's probably responsible for that culture that's been created there. But with him moving out, what about Alexander Romanov? How much are they going to count on him to become a bigger part of that top four at least next year?
Well, top four might be premature at this point, Jason, because, again, you know, Romanov was a healthy scratch for the better part of the playoffs as well. And even though Dominic Ducharme wouldn't come right out and say it, the fact is that towards the end of the regular season, Romanov was playing kind of an overly risky and not a very sound defensive type of game. And if he isn't able to stabilize that, then the coaching staff isn't going to trust him beyond third pairing minutes. You know, like, I mean, he can't be in the middle of the ice and making a wrong move, like laterally, to open up an offensive lane for an attacking player. Those were the types of things that he was doing that caused Dominic Ducharme to lose a little bit of trust in him. But having said that, the Canadiens head coach didn't want to throw the young player under the bus. But the fact of the matter is that Romanov has got a ton of skill, energy, enthusiasm, but he has to learn how to play a sounder defensive game before he can be trusted to be given more responsibilities. And the fact of the matter is, they're going to need somebody like that with his skill set to be able to carry, to log heavier minutes, because everybody's going to have to give a little bit more in the absence of Shea Weber in the long term.
John, always good to catch up with you, man. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.